raise a couple more to the revolution.
We have only three words for you.
Uh-oh.
We're taking over!
The world we're alive.
Why not raise a little hay?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Q0 Theater Cast. This is your host, Artistic Director Dan Pelletier. Here today, still continuing to survive the COVID-19 pandemic. We're, I think, just about over a month now into the shutdown, lockdown, however you want to define it, and definitely been quite the challenge. Just last week, shortly after we finished putting out our previous episode, the governor announced that he is continuing remote learning for the rest of the school year. And based off of that, I had a lot of difficult decisions to make. And we, as we've announced, we're postponing Hamlet, hopefully being able to announce new dates and all that in the very near future. Also, hopefully trying to still get my high school production of Pippin off the ground for some time in July. So, yeah, it's a very difficult time being in the arts community. I hope you are all continuing to support us. And thank you so much for all of that. And for anybody out there that's struggling, if you ever, you need someone, just, feel free to reach out. We've got to, take care of each other. I know everybody goes from having these like manic highs and depressive lows. It's like we've all come up with bipolar depression, not to downplay the seriousness of bipolarness, as you might, as you all saw in our production of Next to Normal. But I feel like it's all settled in a very similar fashion, that we're all just like, going day to day from insanity because we don't know what the future holds. I mean, I would love to, I was planning on trying to go out to California or, Disneyland in July for my birthday. And now I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do that anytime this year. And a lot of us are either working from home or on temporary unemployment. So, yeah, challenging times, but we continue to carry on. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to use this time to get more podcasts out regularly. So today we are here. I want to talk about a very important group of people in the theater, people that I would say are the unsung heroes in theater by far. Usually the person or the type of people that I have to say needs to be the grounded one in a sea of insane people. And those would be our stage managers. And I'm specifically here to talk about one of my, again, it's another kind of a book review, but also we're going to talk a lot about the art of stage managing. In that, the book is actually just called Stage Managing and Theater Etiquette, A Basic Guide by Linda Apperson. It's a fantastic book that, again, I picked up when I was in college. I actually took a nice little two-credit course on stage management, but it's something I highly recommend anybody that wants to be working in the theater or, whether it's professional or community at any level, needs to have a great understanding of just exactly what a stage manager does and the ins and outs of what a production process should look like. And this $15 book is that thing that you should be building that foundation off of. It has so many great tips and explanations, and it explains it in a very layman's terms. If I remember correctly, when we used this book in college, my professor originally said something about, we used to have a textbook that cost like $150, and this $15 textbook is actually far better than the $150 textbook. So it's something I'm very, very thankful to have. So I kind of want to backtrack just a little bit to talk, before I dive into the importance of the book, and to just talk about stage managers and stage management in general. One thing I think I've noticed, not just in community, but across the board, is a lot of people don't understand exactly what the role of a stage manager is. In fact, you know, I worked with a number of directors early in my training and career that didn't utilize a stage manager or didn't really understand the best way to get them out of there. And so, and I think in, you know, different community settings, just based off of the rigors and flow of the overall things, like, you know, whether it be the, you know, abbreviated tech schedule or the, you know, some of the people that might sign up for the position, that we don't always get someone that, you know, truly embodies what a stage manager can be and should be. I will say every director does use their stage manager a little differently, I being one of them. And, you know, depending on the particular demands of a production, I might ask different things of my stage manager. But I mean, ideally, you know, I find a lot of directors, designers, and actors are very artsy, scatterbrained. I believe, you know, would be type B people that are, you know, again, they're right-brained. They're more about the art, and everything can be just, you know, a little bit more all over the place. Whereas the stage manager needs to be that type A person that can ground things, keep a tight schedule. I like to equate them to being the pilot of the ship, whereas the director is the captain of the ship. So when it comes to, you know, what exactly is a stage manager supposed to do? To me, it's a job of many hats. It's a job where, you know, I think the number one thing a stage manager, especially in a professional setting, is supposed to be, is the communication hub. They need to make sure that all of the right departments are communicating and staying on schedule, and everybody knows what everything's doing, or at least, you know, knows the information that they need to know. They should be one of the first people to arrive every day. They should be one of the last people to leave every day. They need to be taking extensive notes. They need to be getting information to the right places. And, you know, that's just in either pre-production or during rehearsals. And then once you get into a show, the stage manager really should be running everything. The, you know, a director shouldn't have, you know, full control. I mean, again, depending on, you know, your situation, like, you know, like where I use student stage managers with high school, I have to be both kind of the tech director and the stage manager's, conscience, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like mentoring my stage manager as they go, just because at best I get like 4 productions out of a stage manager. But, you know, they should really be taking the reins. And then during the actual performances, they're typically the one calling the show. For those of you who might not know what that means, you know, they're the one that is, you know, announcing or, you know, running things. And to me, it's very important that the stage manager be the only one that's like making big decisions. The less thinking everybody else has to do, the more cohesive your set changes and your lights and your safety can be overall. When you only have one person making all the thoughts, and everybody should be taking all of their moves and cues off of the stage manager. And there's a very... You know, there's a couple different ways to call a show, but I think, you know, all of them have a very similar pattern, and it's important that they're using very clear, concise, specific language. And that's where we come back to, you know, today's book, where it gives you that concise, clear language. But again, I stress that everybody should, you know, read this so they can understand not just the role of the stage manager, but it also just has a great detailed breakdown of how theater runs best. You know, I say it's a crash course in the production process, the rehearsal process, and how tech rehearsals should work in a strong fashion that'll keep everybody sane. And surprisingly, you know, the book was originally published in 1998, but I think every lesson that it has is still incredibly relevant. Yes, you might, you know, not send rehearsal reports by, you know, placing them on everybody's desk anymore. You you email those out, or you know, you have most theaters now have like should have a comm system and things like that. So the technology has evolved, but the philosophy remains the same. But it starts with like talking about pre-production and everything that a good stage manager does before you even get into auditions, let alone rehearsals, and then as well as auditions, but just talking about, you know, information that you should want, information that you need, things you should be making. And it talks about different things like a French scene breakdown, which I find like not a lot of people know what a French scene breakdown is, which is a very great thing for your director and your stage manager, especially if the stage manager is going to be involved in helping create the rehearsal schedule. A French scene is defined by the entrance or exit of a character. In classical French drama, everybody arrived at the beginning of the scene and nobody left until the end of the scene. And when you're making a schedule, that can be really useful, especially when you have some longer plays where like a scene might be, you know, 30, 40 pages. But if I'm only on, you know, on stage for the last 5 pages of that, I don't really need to be at the rehearsal for the first 15 pages of that. So when you can actually go through and dissect your script into smaller chunks, these French scenes defined by entrances and exits, you can make a more efficient rehearsal schedule where you're only calling actors that are needed to the rehearsal, which is one of the smarter things to do. Never waste an actor's time. Never waste anybody's time. That's not just a theater lesson. That's an important life lesson. Show up early. Expect to stay late. I hate people that are just on the casual time. No, show up early. Early is on time. On time is late. Late is unemployed. That is something that I will drill into not just all of my actors, but I will drill into every person I come across. Sorry, I'll get off that rant. But anyway, so it talks about a lot of great things regarding, you know, the pre-production process, so you can understand just what should be done, not just by the stage manager themselves, but what you should be expecting of a director. So as a director, it's a good thing to read. You know, it talks about the importance of the ground plan, you know, the importance of rehearsal props. And then it also just goes over, you know, your typical jobs in the theater and different duties and who should be responsible for what. And again, depending on the size of your organization or your structure, some things might overlap. Like, you know, with a lot of the Q0 shows, if we haven't brought in a designer, I'm the director, the lighting designer, the set designer, things like that. So, you know, a lot of these duties can get shared. And then it talks about, you know, in the next section it goes into are those rehearsals. It talks about what a stage manager should be doing. You know, stage manager should be responsible for every rehearsal, taking rehearsal minutes. They don't need to be overly detailed. I've seen some stage managers that go a little too far in being like, at 1:46, actor A was added to rehearsal. At 1:57, actor B was added to rehearsal. At 1:58, the director sneezed. That doesn't give anybody information that they need. But, you know, that in a rehearsal, they should be taking notes so that, you know, when the director says, like, in the middle of, you know, while working a scene, oh, I'm going to need this light to do this specific thing, or, oh, we need to make sure that, you know, the costume can handle the choreography. I'm adding a prop or subtracting a prop, or, you know, I need this set piece to do X, Y, and Z. That should be taken down by the stage manager. And at the end of every rehearsal, they should be putting out a rehearsal report that needs to be read by all of the different department heads so that they know what changes have been made. And that way you also have a clear chain of communication, documentation. So when you have disagreements over what was said when, you just pull out the rehearsal reports and you go, you know, on this day we made this decision. If you read the report, you would know this. Which, trust me, these are things you're going to want. Yeah, so it talks about things like that. Stage managers should also be keeping time in rehearsal. I think that's very important. I love to run my rehearsals by the actors' union, the equity rules, which says you should either give the actors a 5-minute break for every 55 minutes they've been rehearsing, or a 10-minute break for every 80 minutes they've been rehearsing. I think that keeps everybody sane and working pretty well. Then it goes into performance. But after discussing like a tech rehearsal and how those should be run and how to...
Hello, Q0 fans. Q0 business advisor and performer Jake Ranlett here, interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast to talk about Q0 sponsorship and membership. As I'm sure you know, theater is really expensive, and we cannot survive on ticket sales alone, which is why we have these two awesome programs that not only allow Q0 to continue to revolutionize the performing arts scene in New Hampshire, but has incredible benefits for you as well. Sponsors get their name and logo in our playbill, on our posters, mentioned in our podcasts, listed on our press releases, and so much more. We go out of our way to make sure everyone knows about you and thanks you for helping make Q0 possible. We also have our membership program for individuals who want a little bit more bang for their buck and a lot more Q0 in their lives. We have 10 different levels of membership, starting as low as $2 a month. Every level of membership comes with awesome perks, such as early access to the Q0 Theater Cast, discounts on tickets and merchandise, exclusive behind-the-scenes video content, the ability to read our new works blog, and so much more. The more you give, the more you get. If you want to be a vital part of the Q0 revolution, head on over to czthetater.com and click the Support CZT link to become a sponsor or a member today. And now, back to the podcast.
Q2Q and dry tech and a wet tech, and you might be like, what are all these things? The book explains those, so check them out. It talks about how to call a performance, how to time the show, what you should be looking for, how to write a performance report, and then it kind of breaks down some differences in director styles and things like that, and things you have to be on the lookout for. Because again, every director is going to use their stage manager different shows, require different things. If a show is dance, like say you're calling ballet and there's no words or anything, you don't know how to take a prompt book and all of your cues based off of visuals and how to create that prompt book or off of timing everything. So there's, good tips in there. The book also has a great chapter on authority structures and understanding like what should be a director's responsibility, what should be the stage manager's responsibility, who should talk to different people about different things. And that is super important. I hate to say it, but as much as we try to eliminate it, there's always going to be egos and feelings that can get stepped on and hurt. And whether right or wrong, if you can clearly define what is somebody's responsibility and everything like that spelled out early in the process, it should help with a lot of those issues. One of the most important chapters in the book talks about theater safety. And this is something that I feel too many people don't understand or have a disregard for, but theater should be a safe place to do a lot of things that could be potentially hugely unsafe, whether it's combat or complicated dance or looking at making sure that a set piece is built correctly with proper safety implements, having things like glow tape and lines marked so you know people know where to stand and where not to stand. All those different things, you know, that fall under the stage manager's duty. They're kind of the de facto safety officer, and they need to be ready to stand up and speak about different safety issues. And then a fantastic chapter, it actually has a little blurb about that it calls the challenges of theater life, that talks about, like, you know, if you go into being a professional in the arts, or even a lot of these life lessons are good for people that are, you know, doing it more as a hobby, just about, you know, it's a difficult field and how to maintain your sanity. That was one of the most important lessons I think I took away from taking a class in stage management. Was, you know, my teacher had this great speech he called "The Difference Between Your Problem and My Problem." And he said, like, as the stage manager or as any authority figure type person, you should only care about and try to solve somebody else's problem to the point where they will become your problem. Because if you run around trying to solve everybody's problems and put out every fire and take the reins of everything, you're going to have a conniption, you're going to get walked all over, you're never going to get any sleep, and you're going to go insane. So having, again, clear boundaries and understanding of what you need, what you can be doing and what you should be doing and what you need to be doing, super important. Cannot stress that enough. You know, again, theater is already, no matter how much we put up, you know, good practices and safeguards, Tech Week will forever be known as Hell Week, because no matter what, we're going to be super stressed out. And as we always say, never take anything personally that is said during Tech Week. And then, the book closes, like, as I said, with a number of indexes. So it's just got some other positions in the theater. It's got a great glossary of a lot of things that I feel, theater has a lot of jargon. And a lot of it gets thrown around, and sometimes people have to pretend that they know what's being said, and they don't, and that leads to problems, and people don't want to feel stupid, so they won't speak up. So this is not just a great glossary for stage managers, but this is like something you should hand out to all of your actors and tech people and designers and everybody involved with the process sometime before Tech Week, so everybody knows what spike tape is, and everybody knows, what in means, and a teaser and a leg and anything like that. Just again, because we use a lot of these technical terms, and when you have to sit around and explaining things or people are lost, you lose time, you can create an unsafe environment and everything like that. And then it has a list of, like, good supplies that every stage manager needs, you know, like sharpened pencils, pencil sharpener, erasers, highlighters, tape, first aid kit. The list goes on and on. And then it gives you some really good examples of, like, a good rehearsal schedule, a good French scene breakdown, the proper way to format your prompt book, the proper way to format your call sheet, the way you should be putting together your rehearsal report, everything like that. And again, these are just great things to have. There's no need to reinvent the wheel every time we work on a project. There should be some very good theater standards, which, you know, there are two pieces of literature I highly recommend as supplemental pieces to anybody that's either running a theater organization or going into stage management. You got the Backstage Handbook and then Backstage Forms, which again gives you templates for all of these great things. Backstage Handbook has all different sorts of, like, standard sizes and tools to get the right job done. They're just, but all of these things, fantastic to have. The most important thing I think to take away from, what makes a good stage manager is you got to have great organizational skills, and you've got to have great delegation skills. You got to, you know, be able to tell people what to do, give them how to do it, and then let them go off and do it, and building that great structure. And then, you know, again, the most important thing a stage manager does during performance is calling the show. It's not always something that's done in community theater. A lot of times, you know, just because of like the tech schedule, you didn't actually sit down and write all the cues out beforehand. So the lighting designer might be running their own lighting cues. I'm not a huge fan of that. I think it creates some issues in cohesion when you can't have, especially if you have like lighting cues that need to go with sound cues that need to go like with set piece moving, like all at the same time. When you take away that stage manager's authority and ability to be, you know, lights, sound, and set, go. And then everything happens at the same time, and everybody's taking it off of the G of the stage manager's go. You can lose some of that cohesion that's needed for some more complicated things. So I highly recommend all of our listeners out there that if you can sit down before any of the actors are there and you write all the cues into the stage manager's prompt book and let them call the show, even if your board op is your lighting designer, you're going to have a much more cohesive show. Very important for these things, again, especially when you have very complicated and challenging calls and effects that you're looking for. So that's, you know, pretty much everything I have to say. Again, I think this is another book I would love all stage managers, anyone interested in, you know, running an organization, directors too, because I think, you know, the director-stage manager relationship is very important, and I think all directors need to give it a read and understand how they could be using their stage manager, what's a stage manager's mindset, and it gives you a more, whereas, you know, like when we're directing, a lot of times we think in artsy terms, whereas like the stage manager is much more practical. So by having this with you, you know, you can learn how to communicate with everybody better, and you can learn how to use your stage manager better and give up some of that power that you might be afraid to give up. But again, the foundation of everything in theater is built on trust, and you need to be able to trust people to work on these collaborative arts. So I'm actually hoping to set up a roundtable discussion. I'm going to be trying to do our first ever fully remote multi-person podcast. I'm a little scared to try to figure out how that's all going to work, but I would love to start with our area stage manager. So if you are a stage manager and you'd like to be a part of that, shoot us an email sometime in the next week, czthetheater@gmail.com, because we're going to set that up. We're going to have a great little discussion about the art of stage managing. I think that's, again, something that not a lot of people understand, just what they do and how important a good stage manager is, and I'd love to be able to showcase them. So we're going to put that all together and bring that to your listening pleasure. And then in the meantime, I'm going to finally finish my reread of The Empty Space by Peter Brook. Which, again, this is starting to, I've been trying to finish this book for a bit now. I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of a tease. It's been a challenging read for me. It's not, which we'll get into when we, you know, do a full episode on that and, you know, start to dive into directing, and hopefully that'll lead into our director's roundtable. So, as I said, we're currently in the process of rescheduling Hamlet. Be on the lookout for that. We're doing everything in our power to make sure that we are going to do a full regular theatrical production. We're also getting putting the finishing touches on the second draft of Wolf Whistle, which is going to be our first ever audio drama, which we will release as part of this podcast in like a series of like 10 to 12 episodes. It's going to be a great time. I'm real excited about this piece. Where, again, you know, we're workshopping it because we want to offer you an excellent, polished product. I'm also reading, a while back we solicited a lot of original works that we, you know, are hoping to create a play reading series. Maybe we'll turn that into an online play reading series where we'll share these works and discuss them with the playwrights themselves, and then possibly one of these might become a main stage production in the future for Q0. So that's also coming down the pipeline. We'll be announcing auditions for Heather sometime in the near soon. We're still, you know, looking forward to getting all those videos for our world record attempt, and we've got we're looking for two monologues and a little get to know you piece. Get those in by May 3rd so we can start putting together our roster of 20 actors. Very excited for that project. other things coming down the pipeline. Again, everybody, please stay safe out there. You know, and if you haven't done so already, maybe check out our Patreon. There's some great perks on there. You can help us create some amazing theater and get a little extra bang for your buck. I know we plug it every week. But you'll also get, you know, this podcast early and ad-free. You can get the Q0 t-shirt. You can get our new works block. There's just a lot of fun things on there. So please, if you can, you know, as little, if everybody that listens to this show signed up at like the $2 a month level, we'd never have to sell a Playbill ad. We could fully fund the show just by everybody giving us $2 a month. That's $24 a year, and that would add up so quickly. So if you can find a little extra money there in your monthly expenditures, again, I'm just asking for $2, $2 a month, and you would just make me the happiest artistic director in the state of New Hampshire. That's really everything I've got this week. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Artistic Director Dan Pelletier with the Q0 Theater Cast. And as we always say, support local theater and join the revolution.